In part two, we talk with Larry Tam of Tab Advisors about the electronification of fixed income trading.
I also was wondering about your take on the fixed income market. I know this is an area that you've been looking at too, and has evolved.
The fixed income market is becoming increasingly electronic.
Right.
Historically, that market has been phone-based or request for quote, meaning an investor sends basically an email to 3 to 5 brokers asking for a price. The brokers send back a price, and the investor gets to pick the best price they want to deal at. Not very sophisticated from a investor standpoint.
Yeah.
Fairly sophisticated from a broker standpoint, because there's a lot of game theory in how they determine who's asking for the quote and how do they want to quote them. But it's not like a real-time limit order market. It's been more like a request for quote. Now,
mm-hmm.
That's starting to change. You're starting to see some more real-time limit order platforms out there. But the fixed income market's going to develop differently than the equities market, mostly because there are many more bonds outside of sovereign debt, where there's really 7 benchmarks, and you're trading the current benchmark and the last benchmark, or maybe the 2 benchmarks before that. With corporate bonds, you're dealing with 50,000-60,000 CUSIPs,
mm-hmm.
many of which don't trade at all during the year, and so trying to provide a real-time limit order price or a real-time executable price on a bond that may trade once a week or once a quarter, the only time you're really going to get executed is when the price is wrong. So it's a very risky effort to price all of those bonds in real time. That said, the ETF market, the fixed income ETF market, is moving this market more towards a real time market. And how that is operating is that ETFs are basically a wrapper, whereas an equity ETF like the S&P 500 or the SPY or whatever, there's a very specific set of stocks and a very specific set of ratios that you have to deliver when you want to create a basket. Or if you redeem a basket, you're going to get a very specific set of stocks. With a fixed income ETF, you're not sure what you're going to get. And there's leeway in what you can deliver because, again, of these liquidity issues. So if you can't deliver Coke, maybe you can deliver Pepsi.
Mm.
Whereas if you're creating an S&P basket, you're going to have exactly how many shares of Coke and exactly how many shares of Pepsi you're going to need to deliver, you're going to receive.
Mm-hmm.
So this variability on what you can deliver and what you're going to receive on the basket actually provides an opportunity, a trading opportunity. So I can redeem a basket of bonds. I can value those bonds, and those bonds will have an effective theoretic value and a real value. And some of those bonds may be more valuable than they are in the collective valuation of that basket, and some of them might be less valuable. So I take the more valuable ones,
mm-hmm.
I sell them into the marketplace, and then I package less valuable ones that I can either have on inventory or I can acquire cheaper, and I go and create another ETF. So it creates an arbitrage capability within those fixed income ETF baskets. And so what happens then is, then I can, that creates a lot more liquidity in the underlying bonds themselves, which then creates greater transparency, more demand to trade, greater liquidity, and it should tighten spreads and provide a much better price for those bonds. And so the movement and the success of the fixed income ETF market actually creates a more robust underlying market for the underlying corporate bond. And we're seeing that. We're seeing spreads, you know, get better. We're seeing more liquidity on the electronic bond trading platform, and more, you know, velocity in those bonds. So now eventually what that hopefully will do is create more mechanisms so that the banks don't have to hold all these bonds waiting to find, you know, somebody wants to buy them. They can turn them into ETFs. The other people can, who may be able to have opportunities to sell those bonds, may be able to, you know, buy them. And that greater transparency and liquidity may bring in RIAs who are structuring individuals' portfolios so that they can turn over their bond portfolios. Because before, if you wanted to, if you were an RIA and you wanted to turn over a bond portfolio, you know, you'd lose a lot of money on the turnover. It was just cheaper just to hold it to maturity. But if the price of those bonds at the spreads, to, you know, tighten up, there should be a greater opportunity for RIAs or advisors to turn over their clients' bonds, take the profit on portfolios as interest rates decline, and then reallocate them to other assets that they, you know, may want to trade or invest in. And so I think this whole creation of fixed income ETFs creates a really positive situation for the market. And I think it's going to drive, you know, more real-time limit order books. It's going to drive greater price transparency. It's going to drive tighter spreads. And that's all a positive reinforcement cycle, which I think improves the quality of the overall market.
What kind of time frame has this evolution been on? Like, did it happen, start taking place several years ago?
The first move to electronify the market really happened around, you know, before the dot-com craze in the late 90s and early 2000s. Then it really took off again 4 or 5 years ago, but a lot of the investment in those platforms didn't really pan out because it was a little too early, and so we see this happening. You know, it's happening now, but it's still young.
Mm-hmm.
This trend will carry on for another 5 to 10 years probably. You know, we'll be seeing more turnover, more folks move to bond ETFs. We'll see that turnover create more liquidity, and that market will become more electronic. But the bond market will never become like the stock market, and even with the most liquid bonds, they're still going to be less liquid than the least liquid equities. They'll just be more liquid than they were before. That said, you know, we see this as a positive move towards the market.
Right. You know, we're also looking generally at market liquidity as something in futures and options we hear a lot of complaining about. Is that something you've been looking at too?
I haven't personally been looking at it, but I've been hearing people complain about it. Some people think that it's market structure driven, that the high frequency guys are pushing everyone out. But I think more realistically, it's probably just the greater amount of volatility that's scaring people further away from, you know, being at the top of the book. That said, you know, it is a bit worrisome as the liquidity, as the top of book declines, in the futures market, because that's traditionally been really one of the most liquid markets in the world. But I don't have a definitive view of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably a lot of you know, contributors, but probably a little bit more volatility oriented than high frequency trading oriented. Because high frequency trading guys really started in Chicago, and the trend has been around for 15 years now. So I can't believe that in the last year, you know, there may be a new microwave tower, or the cost of infrastructure might have gone up a little, but it just, you know, it's been expensive all along. So I can't believe that it's changed that much in the last 6 months or year. It probably has more to do with volatility than anything. But that's more my belief than my research.